Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 28th of April, recording at 5:32 p.m. British Summer Time. And once again, apologies for the nasal tones and scratchy voice, and no doubt a cough or two as I try to get through this abbreviated audio, because I still have that heavy, heavy head cold. Okay, for Assist Being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And I do start, though, normally with a quick review of the week. Stock markets, a little wobble, but within the uptrends. Risks are edging higher, though, I suspect. Government bonds, they have been awfully weak, and getting a bit of a bounce in here today, particularly the Europeans. And short term, a little bit overstretched on these declines, these government bonds. And the US dollar, big news. This has really been quite weak, accelerated back down to, I think, last September's low on the US dollar index. And in terms of metals, interesting week in here. Gold's been rock steady, and we've got a major breakout, or I should just say resumption of the uptrend in here today, but it is up over $20 as I speak. I hope you've got some gold futures or gold-related investments. It's my biggest position by far, the gold futures. Silver romping in here today. I should have hung around a little longer. And industrial metals, they've seen a bit of profit taking in here this week, but are pretty firm. Well, a little bit firmer in here today. At least aluminium. No, sorry, nickel is, and I can see that copper is also up on the day in here a bit, but off the highs. Remember, that had that key day reversal yesterday. I wouldn't be at all surprised if people were doing a little bit of a switch from some of the industrial metals, which had been top performers, to the precious metal sector, and particularly gold here in the short term. Okay. Big picture, long-term outlook, but first I have to talk about that possibility of a stock market correction. I long said that we would see that in 2Q and 3Q of this year, or if we didn't, it was because there was so much liquidity sloshing around in the system that it prevented it, and we got more of ranging under sort of underperformance types of rotational corrections. But heavens, we've only seen 1 month of the 6 month period that I've danger period that I've referred to in here, so I don't think we can write off the risk of that setback generally. Now, I had mentioned that oil had swung from being a headwind to, if not a tailwind, at least that was neutralized by getting its reaction back towards the 70, just a little above 70. Well, today we had a low of 70.49. It's just above the old range. Now think, for instance, you know, we saw oil get up to 75. What if it had just shot straight on up to 80 or more, rather than pulled back as we've seen over the last week? There's little doubt in my mind that would have created a very sharp headwind for global stock markets, but it didn't do that. It eased, but we do have evidence of a bounce in here today, 72 as I speak, and close to an upside key day reversal, possibly. Now, also those government bond yields, rising yields there, that's another worry for stock markets. The dollar situation is interesting. I said that if we had an orderly decline in the dollar, that would help to cushion downside for Wall Street and might even push it a little bit higher. But the decline has been speeding up a little bit. Now, if people start talking about a dollar-related problem, and might Bernanke have to raise interest rates to contain the dollar, I don't think he would do that. But I'm talking really about market sentiment here. And in the past, a sharply weaker dollar has coincided with a crisis mentality. Not always justified, I would hasten to add, but sentiment rules in stock markets, as we know. So that's a worry here. And then you got the sell in May and go away thing. And incidentally, I should really mention, in case I forget it at the very end, that we are closed on Monday, Maybank holiday here. And therefore, the next audio and comment of the day will be on Tuesday the 2nd. Now, back to these currencies. It's really the dollar versus the rest. I mean, pretty well everything is appreciating against the dollar in here, as you know. But a point I've been making is that people who, well, to take the big money, some of the big governmental money that might be coming out of dollars or might no longer be directed towards dollars, where is it going to go? And that seems fairly obvious in terms of the big money for liquidity. It has to be into the euro, so pushing up the single currency. And I think that will continue until we get, as I say, the bleat factor, which would start with European industries, Euroland industries, then spread to the politicians, and then the ECB, or at least that's been the sequence previously in here. When that kicks in, I don't know, but we're only at 126.18 here right now, and I suspect it's probably up in the, well, it's certainly above 130 and quite possibly above 135 before we start to get any serious bleeding, I would have thought. And at that stage, it might not be a bad idea to think about where one's going to book one's profits if you're long the euro. But let's get there first and talk about it again. And in so stock markets, I'm going to sit tight with my big investment positions. They had some great performances, but did not accelerate up so much that it struck me as being silly money. But I'm fully prepared to see corrections of 10 to 20, possibly even 30% on one or two instruments. So I hope not the latter. But remember, we saw a fairly big correction. What was it? A couple of months ago, in things like BHP Billiton and in Rio Tinto. Those are two of my favorite core positions, which I just want to hold and hold and hold. And here's a had so we had sharp corrections. I would have thought it. Don't hold me to this figure, but I would have thought it was they were easily 20%, 15 to 20%. But then they roared back up into new high ground. So in terms of my investment portfolio, the things that I really, really, really like, and these are the industrial resources blue chips, and that includes energy, of course, the Investec Global Energy Fund. I mean, that's just a core position. I can't see myself selling that for a very, very, very long time. And gold, I prefer the bullion to the shares, as you know, although I have some of the shares, but these are core and not many of the shares. Lots of a big position in bullion. These are just core positions for me. Now, emerging markets also. India, I think India can go up enormously over the next decade or so. And remember, I'm only looking for a medium-term correction here at worst. Could it be worse than that? Well, sure, anything can happen in markets. And if you hang around long enough, pretty well everything will. But I think it would take an exogenous shock to cause more than a normal medium-term correction. So really, I've been lining cash up, as you know, and I would Happily buy more India. I would happily buy more Thailand. I would happily pick up a diversified Asian fund. I might well consider Japan and South Korea. I have some Japan. I don't have any South Korea yet, but I feel I'm spoiled for choice here in terms of the Asian markets that I really like. I might well pick up more of my Atlantis China Fortune Fund. I haven't bought that Vietnam fund yet, largely because I wanted to shift out of a gold share, and that's underperformed a little bit in here. So today's action in gold shouldn't do it any harm, though. So there are lots of things that I would like to have and where I would like to build up positions, and we'll do so if we get that correction. If we don't, might not chase. But at this stage, I still think there's that quite reasonable chance that we either see the correction or a period of underperformance. And if it's going to be a period of underperformance, I'd just as soon have the cash. Okay. In terms of that global correction, I don't see anything occurring without Wall Street deteriorating. It's usually the leader on these moves in terms of, not in terms of direction or first out of the gates, but in terms of overall sentiment. In other words, Wall Street casts a big shadow. So if Wall Street doesn't turn down, I don't see global stock markets having any trouble. And indeed, many of them would go on and continue to hit new highs. But if Wall Street takes fright, then I think it would rein in all of them, and some of them it would rein in with beta. In other words, they'd fall a bit more quickly, particularly if U.S. investors became frightened and pulled some capital home. I don't think that risk is so big that one should be. Now I'm talking about the risk of American investors pulling capital home. I don't think that risk is as great as it has been in other cycles, largely because I think savvy American investors have got the message regarding the dollar and regarding Wall Street's underperformance and are keen to diversify more. And I obviously agree with that strategy. And indeed, I think savvy UK investors have exactly the same view, and a lot of people on the continent, despite some very, very respectable performances here, feel the same way. Okay, government bonds, don't like this sector. I'll probably get stopped out of my some of my positions in here fairly soon, given that the stops are extremely tight. But this is a secular bear market in government bonds, and I can't see more than a technical rally. And it might be a good technical, or reasonably good technical rally, if we get that medium-term correction in stock markets, but I doubt that it will wipe out the deterioration, that good technical rally. I doubt that it would wipe out the declines that we've seen in these government bond futures or the rises that we've seen in yields over the last 3 to 4 months. And I would say I would be looking to sell short once again. Now, in terms of the currencies, I think really the better plays in here right now are the dollar short positions. These need to be traded with trailing stops, of course. And in terms of the metals sector, I did mention, I think, at the beginning of this broadcast that I think we may be getting a little bit of a shift here in terms of speculative activity. Now, I've said I don't think there's as much speculative activity in copper and some of these other metals as people sometimes think. Hedge funds are a favorite whipping boy. Yes, I know there are loads of them, and they've got billions and billions of dollars collectively, but I would be very surprised if they were the primary driving force behind the advance in copper. But they are marginal players, and marginal players can make a big difference in relatively tight supply markets. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I wouldn't be surprised if some of that speculative activity tends to concentrate more on gold because it has lagged and because the dollar is weakening in here right now. And it's easier to sleep at night with gold than it would be at copper when it's just gone up another 50% in a very short or more in a very short time period. So I think that's a switch that we're now seeing. And where might gold be going in here? Well, if it maintains this break above 650 in the short term, I wouldn't be surprised to see a fairly rapid push on towards the $700 level. I think it's going much, much higher over the long term. And I have often said that if I didn't have all these futures positions, I'd have a substantial position in, I'd have a substantial investment position in some of the gold bullion funds. And for people who don't like to trade, those are the obvious way to play the actual gold market. And I expect gold to outperform the Dow Jones. I expect it to outperform U.S. house prices. I expect it to outperform treasury bonds, and I would expect it to go on doing that. And it has been doing that, of course, in recent years, and I would expect it to go on doing that for a good many more years. And energy. Energy, secular bull market overall. And that's why I only play this from the long side, to my cost in terms of natural gas, which is still a thorn in my side. But hey, you know, let's look at all these futures traded industrial commodities. How many of them in recent years have gone down and stayed down? Well, the answer is none, of course. And that type of commonality has been a big influence in my thinking overall, and I maintain that natural gas is cheap, but maybe it doesn't do anything on the upside that's significant until we get closer to the hurricane season. Who knows? But I'm not overly fussed about a position that's still creating a bit of red ink in my overall trading portfolio, because it's a depressed, relatively, this is relative to others, industrial resource in a hot sector. And I don't see that hot sector status changing. And anything else to mention? I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. So have a wonderful long weekend if you get the Monday off as well. And if you don't, just make up for it by enjoying this splendid weekend. Okay, all the best. And Owen will be back next week. Bye-bye.